Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Be with you
and also with you.
Let us pray. Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that shall endure, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. A reading from the Wisdom of Solomon. The ungodly by their words and deeds summon death. Considering him a friend, they pined away and made a covenant with him, because they are fit to belong to his company. For they reasoned unsoundly, saying to themselves, "Short and sorrowful is our life, and there is no remedy when a life comes to its end, and no one has been known to return from Hades. Let us lie in wait for the righteous man, because he is inconvenient to us and opposes our actions. He reproaches us for sins against the law and accuses us of sin against our training. He professes to have knowledge of God and calls himself a child of the Lord. He became to us a reproof of our thoughts. This very sight of him is a burden to us, because his manner of life is unlike that of others, and his ways are strange. We are considered by him as something base, and he avoids our way as unclean. He calls the last end of the righteous happy, and boasts that God is his father. Let us see if his words are true, and let us test what will happen at the end of his life. For the righteous man is God's child. He will help him and will deliver him from the hand of his adversaries. Let us test him with insult and torture, so that we may find how gentle he is, and make trial of his forbearance. Let us condemn him to a shameful death, for according to what he says, he will be protected." Thus they reasoned, but they were led astray, for their wickedness blinded them, and they did not know the secret purpose of God, nor hoped for the wages of holiness, nor discern the prize for blameless souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Stop. Save me, O God, by your name.
In your might, defend my cause.
Hear my prayer, O God.
Give ear to the words of my mouth.
For the arrogant have risen up against me, and the ruthless have sought my life.
Those who have no regard for God.
Behold, God is my helper.
It is the Lord who sustains my life.
Render evil to those who spy on me.
In your faithfulness, destroy them.
I will offer you a freewill sacrifice.
And praise your name, O Lord, for it is good.
For you have rescued me from every trouble.
And my eye has seen the ruin of my foes.
A reading from the letter of James. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus and his disciples passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
One understandable response to today's readings would be, I'm just not feeling guilty enough, or, well, everything, the way I've lived my life. I say it's understandable primarily because I understand that reaction. It's familiar and a little bit comfortable. God knows there are a number of churches that have really capitalized, and sometimes literally using it to increase their wealth, capitalized on that message. At present, at least, we're not among them, and I am grateful for that. I've even gotten better at keeping my own guilt right size, meaning appropriate to the level of my wrongdoing, lapses, and mistakes, and making amends for those. I've even gotten better at receiving forgiveness and not carrying excess guilt around needlessly. I must admit, though, that I have a lot of room for improvement in this regard. I hope you're doing well on this count, the guilt and forgiveness thing, as we all need to be less self-absorbed in this way. God help us all. That's not the sermon I intended for today, but it needed to be said, and it is closely related. So here it comes. The collect and readings are rife with references to the evil world and the pure, sweet nature of otherworldliness. They provide us with abundant examples of that evil. Arrogance, expediency, boastfulness, envy, selfish ambition. The list goes on. It's pretty exhaustive and exhausting. This whole dualistic approach, juxtaposing the evil material world to the good and righteous realm of the spiritual, makes me uncomfortable on several counts. First, because all our experience takes place in this material world. We seem to have glimpses to that other. I hope you hear the quotation marks in my delivery of that word, that other spiritual world. Our Lord has helped us to gain such glimpses. Others before and after him have done the same, but in our view, none has done so as definitively as he has done and his crucifixion and resurrection. Another source of my discomfort with dualism is that right here in this life, in these very, very material bodies, we have experiences that defy a system of merely two rigid categories. They're physical and spiritual, of course, but also emotional and social, just for a start. And among those realms of experience, we encounter good and bad and complex amalgams of those two. The assignment of good to this world and bad to the otherworldly, I'm sorry, the other way around, bad to this world and good to the otherworldly, has led to misinterpretations and faulty thinking, and worse, mortification of the flesh, sex as inherently wrong and valid only as a means for the procreation of children, and scores of bad movies, just to name a few. We sometimes forget that upon creation of the world, this world, God declared it good. Finally, this dualism overlooks the fact that all of us and all the world are made up of many parts. We are capable of doing good things with bad intentions and vice versa. Still, I recognize the value of the language of our collect, for example, asking for God's grace to help us navigate our lives through the challenges confronting us, and at the same time, grace to invoke our higher nature, which we might call the image of God in which we've been created. When Jesus asked the disciples what they were talking about, we can almost imagine the ducking of heads, sheepish expressions. It says they were silent, but come on. And the mumbled response, who's the greatest? What? Jesus might have demanded. I couldn't hear you. After some throat clearing, someone piped up, we were talking about who's the greatest one among us. My imagination tells me it might have been Peter or Thomas, the two who come across as most vocal and most impetuous. Jesus then gives them a little lecture on true humility, about the first being last, and last first, and being like little children. The interchange reminds me once again, and this seems to happen a couple of times a year, of an old Jewish joke. So you've heard it from me before. You're probably saying it along with me. My source for the precise wording this time is Eric Linus Kaplan, a comedian, writer, and philosopher who writes for The Big Bang Theory and earlier for Malcolm in the Middle, and a book, Does Santa Exist? An Existential Investigation. Here's the joke. The chief rabbi of the synagogue at Yom Kippur is beating his breast and crying, tears running down his cheeks. I'm nothing, Lord. I'm nothing. I'm absolutely nothing. Next to him, the chief donor to the synagogue, a wealthy banker, kneels down and hits himself on the chest and yells, I'm nothing. God, forgive me for thinking I'm something. I'm not. I'm nothing. Whereupon, Shlomo, a poor man who sweeps the synagogue out after services and hauls trash, gets down on his knees and yells, I'm nothing, I'm nothing. The rabbi observes this, elbows the banker and whispers, look who thinks he's nothing. I was going to let it go at that, but I love the rest of Kaplan's take on this topic. Here it is. So we don't want to be the rabbi in the story. We don't want to brag about our humility for the obvious reason that bragging about humility shows that we're not humble. People who truly think they're nothing don't look down on other people for thinking that they're nothing. But how do we avoid being the rabbi in this story? We don't do it by telling the story, it seems to me. Because if we have the story in our back pocket, and anytime anybody extols the virtue of humbleness, we tell the story, then we're bragging about how we are not fake humble. And if we're bragging about how we are not fake humble, that we know how to avoid the pitfalls of fake humility, then we're bragging about being genuinely humble. And we're like the rabbi in the story. On the other hand, if we never tell the story or use the idea in the story, how do we point out to people not to be fake humble? How do we teach ourselves and others the value of humility? If nobody makes distinctions between true and fake humility, as exemplified by telling the story, then how does the practice of humility endure? It's a problem. That's what Kaplan has to say. In the end, only God and the person in question, any person, are the ones who know whether real humility is present. C.S. Lewis might have gotten it as right as it can be gotten. This is a quotation from his beloved book, Mere Christianity. It was published in 1952, so we can excuse his use of man instead of person. Here it is. Do not imagine that if you meet a really humble man, he will be what most people call humble nowadays. He will not be a sort of breezy, smarmy person who is always telling you that, of course, he is nobody. Probably all you will think about him is that he seemed a cheerful, intelligent chap who took a real interest of what you said to him. If you do dislike him, it will be because you feel a little envious of anyone who seems to enjoy life so easily. He will not be thinking about humility. He will not be thinking about himself at all. Well, all this colludes to tell us that as we make our way through this life, we do well to pray in the words of today's calling. Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, while we're placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that shall endure. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Let's say together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers for the people. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church,
that we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the church may truly and humbly serve you,
that your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons, especially Michael, our presiding bishop, Andy, Jeff, Hector, and Kay, our bishops, and Michael, our priest,
that they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world,
that there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake,
that our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble,
that they may be delivered from their distress.
We pray especially for John, Nancy, Morgan, David, Judy, Bob, Gary, June, Cheryl, Carolyn, Jill, Mary, Carol, Alan, James, Lynn, Christian, Patrick, Dale, Karen, Gail, Abigail, Robin, Virginia, Maureen, Deb, Kenyon, Sarah, Lindsay, Carol, Tyler, Sheila, Donna, Donald, Caitlin, Norman, Joe, Jim, and David, Anne, Jenny, Alice, Ellie, Leah, Merle, Charisse, RG, Rashonda, Marianne, Betty, Melissa, the people in Afghanistan, Charles, Patty, Ryan, Glenda, Winifred, Shelley, Leslie, Doug, Butch, Cindy, Linda, and Dan, Alan, Ed, the Degatere family, William, Joe, Greg, Mark, Bonnie and Ed, Diane, Craig, Martha and family, Calvin, and all the women in the Hutto facility. And for those who serve in the military, especially Brian, Trevor, James, Jonathan, Kevin, Chris, Jared, Ryan, Eric, and all in harm's way. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let life perpetual shine upon them.
We pray especially for Tom James, Miranda Roberts, Jackie Bailey, Milton Stark, Marianne Gordy, and all who have died from the coronavirus, and for all who mourn for their passing. We pray also all who died in the terrorist attacks 20 years ago yesterday and for their families. We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others.
And as always, I invite you to unmute yourselves if you wish to say prayers or petitions aloud.
My neighbor for Hudson Glint.
For Amber and her children.
For the entire Sander family, especially Evelyn, who died last Saturday. For all of the people in Del Rio.
We ask your prayers for Patrick Arrington, Cesar Ariaza, and Mark Pack, who are traveling this week. And I ask your thanksgiving for those celebrating their birthdays this week, Aubrey Bailey, Jerry Long, Alan McAnally, George Pickens, Melissa Tolliver, and Stacy McComas. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day.
Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplication to you. And you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together in his name, you will be in the midst of them. Fulfill now, O Lord, our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come, life everlasting. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, We confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
I invite you all to unmute yourselves and greet each other. Peace be with you all.
Peace, everybody.
Peace to the Lord, everyone.
Love you.
Peace. Peace, Rachel.
Peace to all.
Peace also. Thank you.
And now, the wisdom of God, the love of God, and the grace of God strengthen you to be Christ's hands and heart in this world, in the name of the Holy Trinity. Amen.
Amen.
Invite you again to all unmute yourselves, and we'll dismiss each other in place because we're going to stick around for coffee hour after this. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.